years ago in Huntersville, a young couple, whose names may or may not be Matt and Amy, brought their first baby, Jack, home from the hospital. As soon as they got home, the new mother suggested to the husband that he try his hand at changing diapers. "I'm busy," he said. "I'll do the next one." Well, the next time the baby was wet, she asked if he was ready to learn how to change diapers. He gave her a puzzled look and finally said, "I didn't mean the next diaper. I meant the next baby." I'm just kidding. Matt changed lots of diapers. But the story does say a lot about how busy we are. As a society and as individuals, there is no doubt that we place a huge amount of value on our time. In fact, it is often said that our time is our most valuable commodity. If you go online, you can even find helpful programs that calculate the actual value of your time as a way to assist you in making certain decisions. Our time is important to us. We hate to waste it, and we often drive ourselves to the point of anxiety and worrying, trying to prioritize all of the various people, activities, and responsibilities in our lives into our very limited amount of time. We almost never question, however, that our time belongs to us. But does it really? What are we supposed to do with our lives and with the precious time we are each allotted? Ask your friends and you'll get one answer. Ask your family and you will likely get a different answer. Ask your employer, you'll surely get a third answer. Ask Jesus and he will give you the definitive answer. As a society, we have a tendency to fill our days and all of our available hours. We bring our work home with us and we take conference calls while we're on vacation with our family. We fill our days with social engagements and volunteer commitments. We even schedule every minute of our children's time with sports practices, music lessons, and play dates. Why do we do this? Why do we feel like we must keep busy? How many of you are familiar with the phrase, "idle hands are the devil's playground"? Although this is not something that actually comes from Scripture, we often treat it as though it does. In many ways, our culture has made busyness a virtue. Those who are busy must be doing something right if there are so many demands on their time. We feel pressure to be at least as busy as our neighbors, if not busier. The culture in which we live has attached some of our worth to our busyness, as though our busyness somehow demonstrates how important we are. And that is simply just not the case. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and you both begin listing all of the things you have to do that day, the responsibilities you have for the upcoming week? I know I am guilty of this, and I feel awful every time I catch myself doing it. In those conversations, it can almost feel like each person is trying to outdo the other person and prove that they're busier, or at least evoke some degree of sympathy from them for their overwhelming schedule. Even when we're trying not to be busy, we feel pressure to do it all, to juggle the successful career, to raise well-rounded children or grandchildren, to serve our community through volunteer organizations, and maybe even carve out a little bit of time for ourselves. These are all noble and worthwhile activities, but if we fill our days with so much busyness, where does that leave Jesus and our time with him? God has given each of us numerous blessings, and many of those blessings, like jobs, family, children, they come with responsibilities that demand our time. God delights in giving us those blessings, and he wants us to enjoy them. But God never intended for the responsibilities and activities in our lives to minimize our relationship with him. When we crowd our lives with too many commitments and too much busyness, we often crowd out Jesus and separate ourselves from God. Jesus speaks to this in Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." Missing a page. Let's think a little bit more about what is happening in that verse. At the time, Jesus said he was coming with his disciples, and it doesn't say how many. So he could have come with one, or he could have come with all of them. And that's an unexpected guest to come to your house. As was the custom at the time, women would be welcoming them to the house with a meal, maybe even be supplying lodging for the night. There's a lot of work that goes into preparing a meal and maybe even a place to sleep for a lot of unexpected guests. So as Martha, as any good first century Martha Stewart would, begins all of the meal preparations to get everything ready for this meal. You can kind of see it now. She's very busy. But Mary is not. Mary, who would normally be helping her, is just sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening quietly. And Martha is a little frustrated by this because nobody else seems to notice that she's doing all the work. So what does Martha do? Has anyone else ever acted like this? Maybe she rattles the pans a little loudly in the kitchen while she's getting ready. And she sets the table and starts clearing her throat while she's putting out the dishes. Maybe she goes outside and she takes a rug and beats it really loudly right outside the window where Jesus is sitting and talking, sort of saying, "How come nobody is paying attention to me?" She probably is giving her sister the side eye as she comes in with a cool glass of water. I'm sure that Jesus was right in the middle of saying something profound when Martha finally can't take it anymore and explodes. She marches in, and instead of taking out her anger on her sister, she unloads it on Jesus. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." How many times have we prayed that prayer or asked that question? "Lord, don't you care? Don't you care what's happening here? Don't you see how hard I'm working?" I can definitely relate to how Martha is feeling. The first time I heard this story, I honestly felt like it was a little unfair. Martha was doing all that work, and it was work that had to be done, and no one else was doing it. Shouldn't she get some credit for that, or some help? I really wanted Jesus to tell Mary to get up and go help her sister. Or maybe even suggest that Lazarus help too, because that's the brother whose house they shared. Or at least tell Martha how much he appreciated all she was doing to make their stay comfortable. But that is not what Jesus did, and it sure shocked Martha. Instead of rebuking Mary, Jesus calmly calls Martha by name. "Martha, Martha," almost as if he's telling her, "Settle down, take a deep breath, and relax for a moment or two. You are worried about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Well, this is not the reaction that Martha expected. Jesus takes Mary's side and affirms her decision. Mary, who shirked her customary hostess duties to sit with the men and listen to Jesus, is told she made the better choice. I am sure that Martha was angry with the perceived injustice of the whole thing at the time, but I truly hope her anger did not cloud the larger lesson. Martha had been busying herself with tasks that she felt were important, and they were important. She was working hard to serve her guests a meal. She was undoubtedly being very hospitable. In fact, she was working hard in service to Jesus. But she was missing the point. She allowed her bitterness over doing all of the work by herself to cloud the fact that she was working to serve Jesus. Mary was honoring Jesus by hanging on his every word. To her, it didn't matter if she was a good hostess or if dinner got served a little bit later. This was her opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to all he said. That was the better choice that Mary had made. Jesus is telling us that regardless how important our responsibilities and our commitments are, there is nothing more important than our relationship with him. And if our busy schedules crowd out Jesus, then our priorities are not in the right place. Now that's a pretty powerful statement, that nothing is more important than our relationship with Jesus. It's easy to say it, but it is much harder to live it. We can be very skilled at justifying our busyness to ourselves. After all, the responsibilities and the commitments that we have, they are important. We have to work, and there are responsibilities that go along with that. We have families and children, and there are responsibilities that go with that that do require our time. They are all truly important responsibilities, and the Lord wants us to provide for, support, and enjoy our families. These are all gifts from God, and he wants us to use them. But he wants us to use them in a way that glorifies him. What he doesn't want is for the gifts and blessings that he has given to us to compromise our relationship with him. I have heard a lot of interpretations of this scripture, and most of the time they hold up Mary as a model of a pure contemplative faith because she chose to listen to Jesus instead of serving in the kitchen. The takeaway is usually a reminder to not let ourselves get so busy that we miss how Jesus is working in the moment, how he is always in our midst. And I do not disagree with that at all. In fact, I wholeheartedly agree that Jesus wants us to focus on him, and he does not want our work obligations, carpools, practices, volunteer opportunities, family time, and social commitments to squeeze him out of our overcrowded lives. But I think there's more to the story. I think the story illustrates the balance of Mary and Martha that we each need in our lives. Jesus knew the gifts of these two women when he chose to arrive at that house that day. And maybe he wanted to show us how we all need Mary's contemplation and some of Martha's willingness to serve. I don't believe that Jesus would have been telling us to forget the needs of the world and the demands of our families so that we can turn our face to heaven while other people take care of us. Spirituality without service is empty and selfish. As a community of faith, we need to listen to God and reflect on his word, but at other times, we need to be called into action to serve in his name. As individuals, we need this balance too. The passage is not telling us that we have to be Mary all the time. It's telling us not to be Martha all of the time. Jesus is saying, don't get so busy that you forget about me. Service, particularly service that uses our God-given gifts and glorifies God, is a good thing. And it's not a bad thing to have a little bit of busyness in our lives. To some degree, it's inevitable, and that busyness often produces a lot of good in the lives of us and the lives of others. There is a little bit of Martha in all of us. But as wonderfully important as service is, it's not the only thing either. We need to make sure that we are regularly finding that bit of Mary in ourselves too, that we are making the time to be still and listen to Jesus. Being human, I think we all tend to be either a little bit more like Mary or a little bit more like Martha. Since a lot of you know me well, I don't think it would be any surprise that I clearly trend toward Martha. I genuinely don't mind being busy. In fact, I sort of enjoy it. I like feeling useful, that I'm helping in some way. Couple that with my inability to say no when asked to do things, and that is the makings of a very dangerous combination. You're looking at a gal who frequently piles too many things on her plate. And that's when my inner Martha has a tendency to take over. I can become so busy planning how to juggle everything and accomplish everything that I've committed to that I become distracted from things that are really important. And once that happens, there is inevitably a time where it all becomes too much, where I am simply overwhelmed with all there is to do and all the people who are counting on me. It is in these moments that I need to sit at the feet of Jesus and simply listen. To shut out the demands of my day for a few moments and just be with the Lord. It's really amazing how in those moments the stress that comes with the busyness fades away into a peace that can only come from Jesus. Mary found that peace at the feet of Jesus, and each one of us can too. I want to share a song that reminds us that Jesus will see us through the busy times if we will only keep sight of him.
Like, get you out of nowhere, I barely need your home.
So what does your schedule look like this week? Is there time for Jesus, or has he been squeezed out to make room for other commitments? Regardless of how chaotic your life can be, Jesus is always there, ready to hold you in his arms and grant you the peace that can withstand any amount of busyness. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we recognize that we have a tendency to overly complicate our lives with responsibilities and commitments. And we realize that this busyness can often distract us from you. Lord, I pray that a relationship with you is the top priority for each person here. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, our ears listening for his words, and our hearts open to his love. And Father, if there are some among us who are overwhelmed by busyness or the storms of their life, I pray that they will sit at the feet of Jesus and know the peace and joy that brings. Amen.